All right, so today it looks like we're going deep into proteins and enzymes and all that, and how they relate to antibiotic resistance.
Absolutely.
We've got these excerpts from a microbiology module here.
Yeah, it's pretty in-depth stuff, but
Yeah.
it's fascinating.
Yeah, so let's get right to it.
Okay, sounds good.
So we're talking about how bacteria build proteins, right?
Yeah, those are like the workhorses of the cell.
Exactly. And enzymes, of course, are really important to the whole process.
Definitely key players.
Yeah. So, but it's more than just a building block story, right?
Right, it's really about the implications.
Yeah.
Like even a single letter change in a bacteria's genetic code
Wow.
can lead to resistance.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's like you change one little thing in a recipe
Right.
and suddenly the whole dish is different.
Oh, yeah, I totally get that.
Yeah.
So these tiny changes have huge consequences.
For sure.
But hold on, before we get too far ahead,
Okay.
let's make sure we're all on the same page
All right.
about how proteins are actually built.
Okay, so the basics, we've got amino acids. They're the building blocks.
Right.
They link together like a chain.
Okay.
But then that chain, it folds up into these crazy 3D
Oh,
structures
wow.
with these things called alpha helices and beta sheets.
Okay.
It's like origami, but on a molecular level.
I like that analogy.
Yeah.
So the shape of that final protein,
Yes.
that's crucial.
It's
So,
super important.
right, because it's like a key fitting into a lock or something.
Exactly. The shape determines what the protein can interact with and what it can actually do.
Okay.
And this is where things get really interesting when we
Okay.
start talking about enzymes.
Okay, because enzymes are proteins,
Yeah.
but they're like the special forces of the protein world or something.
I like that analogy. It's a good way to put it.
So they're like super specialized or something.
Yeah, enzymes are catalysts, which means they speed up chemical reactions,
Okay.
but they don't get used up in the process.
Interesting.
It's like imagine trying to start a fire with just two sticks.
Oh, super difficult, right?
Yeah.
But if you add a little kindling,
Right.
suddenly it's much easier.
Okay.
Enzymes are kind of like that kindling for chemical
So
reactions.
they make things happen faster,
Exactly.
but they don't get used up in the process.
That's pretty efficient.
Very efficient.
The module mentions something called substrate binding and product inhibition.
Yeah.
Can you sort of break those down for us?
Sure. So substrate binding is all about how well an enzyme can actually bind to the molecule it's supposed to act on,
Okay.
which is called its substrate.
Got it.
Think of it like a baseball glove catching a ball.
Okay.
The better the fit, the easier the catch.
Makes sense.
And in the same way, a strong enzyme substrate bond
Okay.
makes the reaction more efficient.
Okay, I get it. So what about product inhibition?
Product inhibition is kind of like when the glove gets stuck closed after it catches the ball.
Interesting.
The product of the reaction can actually hang around the enzyme
Oh, wow.
and block new substrates from binding. So it's like a feedback mechanism
Wait a
to
minute.
regulate the enzyme's activity.
That's really cool. So we've got these basics down, right?
Yeah.
We know how proteins are built,
Uh-huh.
how enzymes work,
Yeah.
but how do scientists actually study these things?
Well, one technique they use is called UV spectrophotometry,
Okay.
which sounds very complicated,
Yeah.
but essentially it just lets them see how fast an enzyme is working.
Wow.
It's like watching a factory in action. It can
Ah.
actually measure how quickly raw materials
Right.
are turned into products.
That's wild. And they can actually apply this to studying antibiotic resistance.
Absolutely.
The module mentions this example of beta-lactamases.
Right.
Those are the enzymes that can break down penicillin.
Exactly. Scientists can literally see how effective an antibiotic is
Wow.
by measuring how quickly its target enzyme is being broken down.
Oh, that's interesting.
They use this special molecule called nitrosephin,
Okay.
which changes color when it's broken down by beta-lactamase.
Wow, so it's like a real-time indicator
Yeah, of
of.
how resistant the bacteria are becoming.
Exactly.
That's really incredible.
That's pretty amazing. And this ability to measure enzyme activity,
Yeah.
it's super important for understanding not just how bacteria resist antibiotics,
Right.
but also for developing new drugs
Okay.
that can overcome that resistance.
So now we're getting to the heart of the matter.
Yeah.
Let's talk about those resistance mechanisms.
Okay.
The module goes into detail about enzyme inhibition,
Yes.
which seems to be a key strategy for developing new antibiotics.
It is. The idea is to find molecules that can actually block the activity of enzymes
Right.
that are crucial for bacterial survival.
So basically, target the things that the bacteria need to
Yeah,
survive.
it's like finding the weak link in a chain and targeting it.
Oh, I see. So, are there different ways to do this?
There are. The module mentions a few.
Okay.
Competitive, uncompetitive, non-competitive, and irreversible inhibitors.
So what's the difference between all of those?
Okay, so think of an enzyme like a lock.
And its substrate, like the key.
Right.
Competitive inhibitors are like fake keys.
Oh.
They fit in the lock.
Right.
But they don't open it.
Oh, interesting.
They compete with the real key for the binding site.
So it's just like a race to see which molecule gets there first?
Yeah, basically a matter of which one binds strongest.
Okay, what about uncompetitive inhibitors?
Uncompetitive inhibitors are a little trickier.
Okay.
They only bind to the enzyme after the substrate has already attached.
Oh, wow.
It's like gumming up the works after the key's already in.
Oh, so they're sneaky.
Yeah. And then there are non-competitive inhibitors.
What are those like?
They're even sneakier.
Oh,
they bind to a different part of the enzyme and actually change its shape.
Wow.
So the substrate can't bind properly.
Interesting.
It's like bending the keyhole so the key no longer fits.
So they're changing the playing field, essentially.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then finally, there are irreversible inhibitors.
What do they do?
Those are like the final blow. They form a permanent bond with the enzyme and completely shut it down.
Wow.
It's like breaking the key off in the lock.
So no coming back from that?
Nope.
Okay, so we've got all these different ways of inhibiting enzymes.
Yeah.
But how do scientists figure out which ones are actually effective?
Well, they use a few different metrics. Yeah. One is called percent inhibition.
Okay.
Which basically tells them how much the enzyme's activity is reduced by the inhibitor.
So a higher percentage means it's better.
Exactly. A higher percentage means a more potent inhibitor.
Okay. And they also use something called IC50 values.
Yeah. Those are important, too.
What are those all about?
So the IC50 value is the concentration of an inhibitor that's needed to reduce the enzyme's activity by 50%.
Oh, okay.
So a lower IC50 means a more potent inhibitor.
I see, because you need less of it.
Exactly. You need less of it to do the job.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So now we have a good idea of how scientists study and manipulate enzymes.
Mm.
But let's bring this back to the big picture.
Okay. Antibiotic resistance.
Right.
The module points out that enzymes can actually be both targets for antibiotics and mechanisms of resistance.
It's true. It's kind of a double-edged sword.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So can you give us an example of that?
Sure. Take trimethoprim sulfamethoxazole.
Okay.
Or TMP-SMX for short.
Okay.
This combination of antibiotics targets enzymes that are involved in bacterial folate synthesis. Which is essential for their growth.
Okay, so it's like cutting off their food supply.
Exactly.
But bacteria can fight back, right?
They can, and they do.
How do they do that?
One way is by producing enzymes like beta-lactamases.
Right. Those are the ones we talked about earlier.
Exactly. And those enzymes can break down antibiotics.
And that makes the antibiotics useless.
Pretty much. They become ineffective.
Wow. So it's this constant back and forth.
It is.
Scientists develop new antibiotics.
Yep.
And then bacteria evolve ways to resist them.
It's an evolutionary arms race.
That's kind of scary. Yeah, it's definitely a challenge.
Yeah.
But understanding how bacteria evolve resistance is critical to staying ahead of the game.
And speaking of evolution, the module explains how mutations in bacterial DNA can actually change the structure and function of enzymes.
Yeah. Imagine you have a bacterium that's susceptible to a certain antibiotic.
Okay.
But then it undergoes a mutation.
Mm-hmm.
And that mutation changes the shape of the enzyme that the antibiotic targets.
So now the antibiotic can't work.
Exactly. It can't bind effectively, and the bacterium becomes resistant.
So essentially, the bacteria is evolving to evade the antibiotics.
Exactly. And these mutations, they can arise spontaneously.
Oh, real?
So it's like the bacteria are constantly experimenting with ways to survive.
That's a numbers game then.
In a way, yeah.
The more we expose bacteria to antibiotics, the more likely they are to develop resistance.
That's the concern.
That is a bit scary.
It's a serious concern. And it's not just the amount of antibiotics we use, but it's also about how we use them.
Oh, okay.
Overuse and misuse, like prescribing them for viral infections or not completing the full course of treatment that can actually speed up the development of resistance.
Oh, wow. So it's really important to use antibiotics correctly.
Absolutely. It's crucial.
Okay. So this is all starting to come together now.
Let's do it.
We've got the building blocks of proteins, the action of enzymes, the way scientists study them, and the mechanisms of resistance.
It's all connected.
Yeah. But I have a feeling there's still a lot more to cover.
Oh, there's definitely more to this story.
Okay. So let's keep going.
Sounds good. Oh, yeah. There's a whole lot more.
Okay. Well, let's dive in.
All right. So the module gets into these things called codons.
Codons.
Yeah. They're these three-letter words in the genetic code
okay.
that tell the cell which amino acid goes where.
So it's like the language of protein synthesis.
Exactly.
But how does that relate to antibiotic resistance?
Well, different bacteria have different preferences for which codons they use.
Oh, interesting.
Like some are more popular than others. It's called codon bias.
Codon bias.
And scientists can actually use this to their advantage.
Really? How?
By designing antibiotics that target those specific codons.
So you're creating a message that only the bacteria can understand?
Yeah, and it's not a good message for the bacteria.
Like a targeted attack.
Exactly.
The module mentioned something called codon optimization.
Oh, yeah, that's a really cool area of research.
What is that all about?
So by optimizing the codons used in a synthetic antibiotic, scientists can make it more effective against specific bacteria.
So it's like hacking their communication system.
Exactly.
Wow, so we're not just throwing darts in the dark anymore.
Not anymore. We're getting smarter about it.
The module also talks about the bacterial ribosome as a target for antibiotics. Can you remind us what ribosomes do?
Sure. Ribosomes are like the protein factories of the cell.
Okay.
They take the genetic code and translate it into those chains of amino acids that form proteins.
So they're essential.
Super essential.
And why are they good targets for antibiotics?
Well, bacterial ribosomes are different from human ribosomes.
Oh, okay.
So we can design antibiotics that specifically target the bacterial ones.
Without harming our own cells.
That's the idea.
Yep.
It's like having a sniper rifle that only hits the enemy.
That's a good analogy.
And there are several antibiotics that work this way.
Really?
Yeah, each one interferes with a different stage of protein synthesis.
So it's a multi-pronged attack.
Exactly. Disrupting the bacteria's ability to build essential proteins.
But even the ribosome isn't a perfect target, right?
Unfortunately not. Bacteria are very clever.
How so?
Well, they can mutate the genes that code for ribosomal proteins.
Oh, okay.
And that can make the ribosome less susceptible to the antibiotic.
So they're changing the lock.
Basically. Or they can produce proteins
that
bind to the ribosome and protect it.
So they're adding a shield.
Yeah, it's a constant back and forth battle.
That evolutionary arms race again.
Always.
The module also delves into how scientists actually measure enzyme activity.
Yeah, that's important stuff.
It can get pretty technical, though.
It can, but it's crucial for understanding how they study antibiotic resistance.
Can you give us a simplified explanation?
All right, so think of it like this. Measuring enzyme activity is like taking a bacteria's pulse.
Okay.
It tells us how fast those cellular machines are working.
Oh, that's a good way to put it.
And there's this equation called the Michaelis-Menten equation.
Oh, boy.
Don't worry too much about the details.
Okay.
But basically, it's a mathematical formula that describes how the rate of an enzyme-catalyzed reaction changes depending on the concentration of the substrate.
So it's like a performance metric for enzymes?
Exactly.
So scientists use all sorts of techniques to measure this.
Yeah, things like UVV spectrophotometry, which we talked about earlier.
Right, where they use light to measure the concentration of molecules.
Exactly, and they can track how those concentrations change over time. And that tells them how active the enzyme is.
And this is all useful for studying antibiotic resistance.
Very useful, because a lot of antibiotics work by inhibiting enzymes.
Right.
So by measuring how the enzymes respond to different inhibitors, scientists can develop more effective drugs.
So it's all about understanding the enemy.
Exactly. Know your enemy and know yourself.
The module also spends a lot of time talking about enzyme inhibition.
Yeah, that's a key strategy for developing new antibiotics.
It's like finding the Achilles heel of the bacteria.
Exactly. And as we discussed earlier, there are different types of enzyme inhibition.
Competitive, non-competitive, irreversible.
And each one has its own mechanism of action.
So it's not a one-size-fits-all approach?
Nope. Scientists need to carefully choose the right type of inhibitor.
Based on the specific situation.
Exactly. The module gives this great example with TMP-SMX.
Right. The trimethoprim-sulfamethoxazole combo.
That's the one. It's a classic example of how understanding enzyme inhibition can lead to effective therapies.
So how does it work?
Well, it's a combination of two antibiotics.
Okay.
Each targeting a different enzyme involved in bacterial folate synthesis.
So it's like a double whammy.
Yeah, hitting the bacteria from two different angles.
Makes it harder for them to develop resistance.
Exactly. And it's been a very successful treatment for many years.
But even TMP-SMX isn't immune to resistance, right?
Nothing is immune to resistance forever.
Because bacteria are always evolving.
Always mutating, finding new ways to survive.
So it's back to that evolutionary arms race?
You can't escape it.
The module also talks about beta-lactam antibiotics.
Ah, yes, the penicillin family.
Those are some of the most widely used antibiotics, right?
They are, and they work by targeting these enzymes called penicillin-binding proteins.
Penicillin-binding proteins.
Or PBPs for short.
Okay.
And those proteins are crucial for building the bacterial cell wall.
So the antibiotics weaken the cell wall.
Exactly, and that causes the bacteria to rupture and die.
Sounds effective.
It is. But of course, bacteria have found ways to resist.
Oh, no.
Yeah, one common mechanism is by producing those beta-lactamases.
Right, the enzymes that break down the antibiotics.
Exactly, it's like a shield that protects them.
And to make things worse.
Oh, what now?
The beta-lactamases can mutate, too.
Oh, yeah. They can evolve and become even more effective.
Oh, it's like an arms race within an arms race.
You got scientists develop new antibiotics.
Yeah.
And bacteria develop new ways to resist them.
That's a never-ending battle.
It can feel that way.
Yeah.
But scientists are making progress.
That's good to hear.
Yeah. For example, they've developed inhibitors.
Okay.
That can specifically target beta-lactamases.
Oh, so it's like a double agent?
Yeah, a decoy to distract the enemy while the real weapon sneaks through.
That's pretty cool.
It is, and it's a very effective strategy.
The module mentions Augmentin.
Oh, yeah, that's a good example.
Yeah.
It combines amoxicillin, which is a beta-lactam antibiotic,
okay,
with clagulanic acid, which is a beta-lactamase inhibitor.
So it's a 1-2 punch?
You got the inhibitor takes out the bacteria's defenses,
mm-hmm,
and then the antibiotic can do its job.
I like it.
It really highlights the importance of understanding both sides of this equation.
Right. Not just how antibiotics work,
but also how bacteria resist them.
So we've covered a lot of ground here.
We have.
From proteins to enzymes to antibiotic resistance.
That's all connected.
But I feel like there's still more to uncover.
Well, there's always more to learn.
Oh, yeah, definitely more.
It's kind of amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like we're looking into this whole hidden world.
That right.
These microscopic battles are happening all the time.
It's true. And they have real consequences for us.
Right. For human health.
Absolutely. The rise of antibiotic resistance is a serious threat.
It is.
Yeah.
And the module really emphasizes that we need a multifaceted approach,
yeah,
to tackling this problem.
Definitely. It's not just about developing new drugs.
Right.
It's about understanding how resistance spreads,
okay,
and how we can prevent it.
So like what kind of things?
Well, one thing is antibiotic stewardship.
Antibiotic stewardship. I mean, it's basically making sure we use antibiotics only when necessary.
Right.
And making sure they're used correctly.
So like completing the full course.
Exactly. And making sure they're prescribed for the right reasons.
Okay. And then, of course, we need more research.
Oh, absolutely.
To understand how resistance evolves.
Yeah. And to develop new strategies to fight it.
It's like that chess game we talked about.
It is. We got to stay one step ahead.
Speaking of which, I think it's important to point out
of that.
That we all have a role to play in this.
Absolutely.
It's not just about what's happening in hospitals or labs.
Right.
It's about the choices we make every day.
Exactly. Like simple things.
Oh, yeah. Like what?
Like washing your hands.
Okay.
Getting vaccinated.
Right.
Completing the full course of antibiotics when they were prescribed.
Yeah, that's a big one.
It really is.
Yeah.
All these things can help.
And we need to be aware of the risks of overuse.
Yeah, definitely.
It's tempting to just want antibiotics for everything.
I know, right? But they're not always the answer.
And they can actually do more harm than good sometimes.
Right. Overuse not only drives resistance,
yeah,
but it can also mess up our own microbiome.
Right, which can lead to other problems.
Exactly. It's all about finding that balance.
Mm-hmm.
Using antibiotics when they're truly needed.
Right.
But also being aware of the downsides.
And that requires education.
It does. For healthcare providers and for everyone, really.
So what have we learned today?
Well, we've gone deep into the world of proteins and enzymes.
Those tiny little machines.
And we've seen how even small changes,
right,
can lead to big problems like antibiotic resistance.
That's a scary thought.
It is. But scientists are working hard to find solutions.
That's good to hear.
Developing new drugs,
mm-hmm,
new diagnostic tools,
okay,
new strategies to combat resistance.
It's an ongoing battle.
It is. But knowledge is our most powerful weapon.
I love that. So keep learning, keep asking questions, and let's all do our part to fight antibiotic resistance.
Couldn't have said it better myself.